Psalm chapter 2. I don't know where the Lord will take us with this one, but we'll see. Psalm chapter 2. I call this one the biblical history of the New World Order. So it's kind of different. But the Lord led me, I believe, to put this together and to get back into Psalm chapter 2. There's actually a lot of things here. I don't know if it'll be, I don't know what the Lord will do, when I'll preach another message on this. I may not get to that. I may preach on that servant's heart again next week. I don't know. I don't know yet. I haven't got that out of my system yet. I really believe there's more to dig down in deep and to glean out of that. I think there's some hearts that need to hear it. Amen? So we'll just keep going and do what God has us to do. Psalm chapter 2, verse number 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Let's pray. Father, Lord, help us as we continue to dig into the Word of God. We just pray that you'd teach us what we don't know. Strengthen our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, when we last talked about this subject, probably a year ago, we covered the heathen raging. I cannot find that sermon anywhere. I don't know where it went. I found one from 2015 that I preached on it. I haven't found that sermon. I'm sure we put that online, but I cannot find the title anywhere. So I don't know. Maybe it's in the lost files somewhere, and it didn't get put up. But about 6 days, do you remember me preaching that on Psalm 2, verse 1? I have the outline, so I know I preached it. Okay, I just don't know where it is. But anyway, it's not online anywhere, but that's okay. Anyway, but we have to remember that, you know, that people are generally given the government that best reflects the heart that they have. In the times that we live in our country, like America, we can definitely concur with that statement, can't we? We can see America the way it is. We find in the book of Samuel that the people were given Saul to rule over them. Israel was given exactly what was a reflection of their hearts. Their cry should have been, we have no king but Jehovah, but their cry was, give us a king. So God gave them one after their own hearts, and he ended his life in rebellion of witchcraft. Right? So I think this shows us the history, kind of the New World Order, and it takes us forward to the future of what it will be like. But I break this down into three separate things. The first thing I want to show you tonight, number one, the first thing is that the NWO conspiracy, or the conspiracy for a one world government, started in heaven. Isaiah chapter 14, let's go there. I don't believe in a New World Order tonight because Alex Jones says there's one. That might shock you, right? I don't believe in it because of 9/11 being an inside job, right? I don't believe in it because I see Masons and Jesuits. I can show you tonight that it's in the scriptures. And all those other things are just, they testify of what God's already told us. Do you know that God's book is way ahead of any of their timelines and their figures and their understandings of anything? God's book is way ahead of that. He shows there's a spirit behind the New World Order. What is it? Who is that spirit? Antichrist, that's right. It's Satan. The idea of a New World Order and rebellion against God, it started in heaven. Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. What is that? That's the beginning of the New World Order. Satan was the first conspirator against God. Is there a conspiracy? Yes, to conspire. That's a conspiracy. That means there's a spirit there, right, Aaron? There's a spirit behind it. Right? So who is the spirit behind this New World Order where you have Masons and Jesuits and everybody else? Right, to conjure, right. They conjure spirits. So what is that spirit and who is that spirit? When everybody looks at you like, you probably believe in QAnon and you probably believe in all these people and you probably believe there's really this conspiracy and there's really this and that. Yeah, I believe there's a lot of conspiracies, but I could care less who Q is. Let me tell you who I believe. I believe what Jesus Christ said. I believe what Psalm 2 tells me. Why do the heathen rage? Why do these people rage against God so much? Why do the people imagine a vain thing, right? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed. What is that? It's a psalm of the New World Order. That's what it is. It's right there. He says, well, they're all going to do it. And we're not going to get to the whole psalm because we're not going to have time, obviously. You'll never get home. Here is the beginning, that true spirit behind the New World Order, that conspiracy of a one-world government, it was Lucifer. That he would exalt himself above the stars of God, that he would be like the Most High. That's the spirit that's behind. If you never showed me a Jesuit, a Mason, or anybody else, I'd be like, well, it's there. How do I know it's there? What's that? Right. And they got to be somewhere. That's right. And those spirits are everywhere in the world working that. So the devil is not short of useful idiots. He's got plenty of them. The children of disobedience. He's not short on help, right? He's not. Every single one of those people that are part of a New World Order, what do they have? This spirit of exalting themselves above God. That's what spirit they have. Because that's the one that Satan has. Every one world leader, look, if you trace the leaders of the world, Alexander the Great, what was he? He was a one worlder and he hated God. He wanted to conquer the world. Nebuchadnezzar wanted to conquer the world. Right? All of them. They take the rainbow. They want to exalt themselves above the stars of God. They will be like the Most High. Right? Satan wanted a new world order. It was in his heart, a one world government. It was in his heart to foment the rebellion against the Lord and his anointed. That was Satan's goal. So if you ever want to understand, well, where did the new world order come from? Satan. I mean, came from the devil. Came from Lucifer. That's where it came from. Number two, all world leaders are religious. Never forget that. They all have a religion. Now, you and I would call it vain religion, what they have, right? Because why do the people rage, right? Why do they imagine a vain thing? Why do they do that? Why do the heathen rage? Why do the people imagine a vain thing? Well, they have vain religion. That's what they have. In America, we've voted for many wicked men. Many men have ruled over this country. And just now, Donald Trump is the reflection of this country. A little religious with a Constantinian complex. Not a man that has followed the Lord, but has mixed in with his religion, a sodomite agenda that is an abomination before God. But many will make excuses for him. But it matches their religious beliefs. Do you know that so many evangelicals do not believe that the sodomite life is a sin? And that the LGBTQ is vastly being accepted in this nation? And Donald Trump's platform was the one that made it acceptable? He made it more acceptable. It's so ridiculous how back at the 2016 Republican National Convention, he schmoozed all those morons and they fell for it. He got up on stage there and he talked about, I'm so happy to hear all you people supporting the LGBT. And he used the classic Hegelian dialectic. He used the classic thing, well, you don't want Muslims killing fruits. So because you don't want Muslims killing fruits, then you're for the sodomite agenda, and I'm so glad to hear you say that. Right? I'm so glad that that's said at a Republican National Convention. Wait, so you turn the whole Republican National Convention gay? Queer, I should say? You just turned the... And all these evangelicals were in the crowd that day. I wonder what Pastor Paula thinks of it. How come people don't like it when you get that real about politics? They just don't. They hate that. They do. Did you know that all world leaders hold to some sort of religion, and it's either true biblical Christianity or it's Antichrist Constantinian religion? You either are part of the New World Order or you're part of Christ. You cannot hold to principles that are clearly Antichrist and then claim Christ. The God of this world has blinded their minds. You cannot believe in things that are diametrically opposed to Christ and then claim that you're God's child. It doesn't work that way. If this text teaches us anything, it teaches us that world leaders and governments of this world are religious. They hold to what the Bible calls vain religion. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Think about that one. So the question is asked, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Because there's always been a worldwide conspiracy against the Father and his anointed Son, Jesus Christ. There always has been. This psalm of the New World Order can be broken down in the beginning of it three ways. Number one, the governments of this world. Number two, Christ's first coming. And number three, Christ's second coming. Right? First, we may well talk about the old world order. Where did it all begin? Where did it happen? Where did it come from? Right? So we look at the biblical history of the governments of this world. God destroyed the old world, as we well know, by a worldwide flood, saving only Noah and his family alive to procreate and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over it. God laid down some order for civil government in Genesis chapter 9, and God blessed Noah, verse number 1, and his sons, and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hands are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, and at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. And you, be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. So God institutes civil government through Noah. He gives him the government, the order of government, and tells him how he should govern. But then, not too long after that, in Genesis chapter 10, it didn't take very long, about 200 years total, before the rise of a man named Nimrod. Genesis 10:8 says, and Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh, and the land of Shinar. In the land of Shinar. Out of the land went forth Asher and builded Nineveh and the city of Rehoboth and Calah. What do we find there? We find a new world order being set up. Genesis chapter 11, verse number 1, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. What were they doing? Setting up a one-world government. Setting up a tower. Some say a ziggurat, whatever, it doesn't matter what it was. It's a spiritual gate. It was also that, too. They were setting. They called Babel, was another name for Babel, was the gateway of the gods. I don't know everything that goes involved with that. God didn't tell us everything. He told us enough to know that it wasn't a good place to be. And how do we know that? Because he scattered them all abroad, right? Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. What does that mean? They're still building it. You see that? They're still building it. They just left off to build the city. That's that spirit of Antichrist still at work today, still wanting to build. Therefore, the name of it is called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the languages of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. What does that sound like? It sounds like the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. So here we have it right after the flood, that it didn't take very long. And within a few hundred years, a worldwide kingdom arose that would attempt to take over the world, to build a physical and a spiritual tower to reach the heaven, a stargate, if you will, to reach the height of heaven. Not much has changed, has it? The same spirit is there today. Ecclesiastes 1:9, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. The old world order is the same as the new world order. It's the same spirit. It's not any different. It's Satan at work. Right? A murderous, conquering death spirit that seeks to foment a rebellion against God and against his anointed. It's not any different. It's the same spirit. But that was the history. That was before. And part of that history is, number two, we can see David's time as well, because David is writing this. So David, though he is prophesying of the future, David is also talking about right now. Because David was a man after God's own heart, and David was given the kingdom of Israel and Judah to rule 33 years in one and 7 in the other. 40 years, and David was the Lord's anointed. David is writing of his times in his kingdom. And how many enemies did David have? How much betrayal and how many wars did the Lord's anointed go through? Who was Goliath? Goliath was a picture of the beast, 666. Goliath was a picture of that beast, one world government system that hated God. David was a picture of the Messiah who would deliver Israel. David was like the lion of the tribe of Judah. He was the sweet psalmist of Israel. He was the Lord's anointed. David saw how kingdoms of the Philistines came after him. Giants with that Antichrist spirit that hated Israel came after him. All David's enemies gathered themselves together against him. Why? Because of who David represented. The Lord's anointed. 2 Samuel 10:15 says, "And when the Syrians saw that they were smitten before Israel, they gathered themselves together. And Hadarazar sent and brought out the Syrians that were beyond the river. And they came to Helam, and Shobach, the captain of the hosts of Hadarazar, went before them. And when it was told David, he gathered all Israel together and passed over Jordan and came to Helam. And the Syrians set themselves in array against David and fought with him. And the Syrians fled before Israel, and David slew the men of 700 chariots of the Syrians and 40,000 horsemen, and smote Shobach, the captain of their host, who died there. And when all the kings that were servants to Hadarazar saw that they were smitten before Israel, they made peace with Israel and served them. So the Syrians feared to help the children of Ammon anymore." David knew what it was like to have the kings of the earth set themselves against him. That's why he wrote that. Yes, it absolutely does deal with the messianic truth and the future of the scriptures of Christ coming to rule and reign, but it also deals with David in his times. David knew what it was like to be at war with the world. David understood that he was publicly associated with Jehovah. And because that he was God's anointed, He was an object of hatred and scorn to the ungodly world. Do you realize that this world can smile before you and everything else? But because you're children of God, they hate you. Do you realize they can't do anything else but hate you? They can't do anything else. Do we really wonder when people can't understand why we have to do right? When the Bible says that these things are spiritually discerned? They cannot, neither can they know them. Why can't they know them? Same reason why you couldn't before you were saved. Man, I didn't understand any of the rules before I was saved. I stinking hated them, man. I was like, you people are weird. Well, you are kind of weird. But you people are weird, right? But then I got saved, and I was like, oh, I get it now. Oh, I get it. Why? Because you're the Spirit of Truth now. I mean, Jesus did say, marvel not, the world hate you. But we, what do? We marvel when the world hates us. Well, I can't believe they don't like me. Right? I think it's funny. Let me give you an example of this very thing. Yesterday, I decided to do a video on Ruth Darth Vader Ginsburg. And what are you laughing about? That would have been a good name, wouldn't it? Yes, she did. So, anyway, I was preaching against that Jezebel spirit, you know, that was that Ruth Bader, that was her whole life. And then I go down, and then I go down to the co-op, and I had my face shield on. So I wasn't like walking in there. I didn't want to make all the yuppies cry. They're like a bunch of little girls, the boys are. And the girls are like, hey, got any plans with the missus? Hey. Oh, boy. Anyway, and this Jezebel, like, literally, I thought she was going to rip my face shield off of me. She was, like, mad at me. She was like, and I didn't know why. And then I kind of remembered why. I was like, well, you just did make the devil mad. And you walked out there and you spoke. And then here's this Jezebel lady. And she's like, you know, that's not acceptable face covering, don't you? I was like, nobody said anything to me yet about it. And she looked at me. She goes, well, I am right now. I was like, whoa, holy buckets, lady. That's why we have these. She goes, do you have that on backwards? I'm like, yeah, I'm in special ed. Leave me alone. Quit picking on me. You're not supposed to pick on special people. No, I was like, I should have said, look, lady, you've been swinging your weight around here all day. But I didn't say that. She was kind of big. But so that would have been an accurate line. But I didn't say that. What I said was, I said, well, I say what I always say to them, which they don't like to hear. I just don't buy the hype. You want a bag? She just throws a bag at me. Here, take us. She walks away. Like, now, I don't know if that lady knows who I am. She might. I'm not really that well-favored at the co-op, being Northfield's favorite son and all. So, but that Jezebel spirit was not too happy about that. But we're in good company. Because we're never going to be liked if you stand for the truth. And they just sometimes, the devils in them are so pronounced that they just know it. And like that lady, and I use that woman, they know it. Oh, they know it. And they get mad. And that Jezebel, I can't like those Jezebel, like I don't, if I'm in a room and I'm walking and there's like a Jezebel in there, they like fly to me. Oh, I'm telling you, it's like a magnet. They'll be discovered in the room. It's like my presence makes them like out themselves. It's that pronounced. Hey, every time you preach in the, you know what's true, because every time you preach in the open air, what happens? They all come flying in, don't they? They can absolutely hate each other, but they hate you more than they hate each other. And they are ready to hate you. Why is that? Because why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers. Same thing David went through. It's the same exact thing, right? Right. God loves everybody. Except I've had Jehovah's Witnesses be so mad at me, they don't even believe in hell, and they're telling me I go there. You're going to hell. Wait a minute. You don't even believe in hell. I don't care. You're going there. You're just like, wait a minute. You don't even believe there is one. I don't care. You're going there. Nobody's going to hell but you, loser. See ya. And they walk. Remember all the, I can show you video after video where they make no sense at all. You're going to hell, loser. Well, you don't even believe there is one. I don't care, but you're going for sure. That was at Christmas. Why is that? It's that same spirit. It was the Christmas spirit. I want you people to die. Do you remember that old lady saying that? Oh, you remember. I know you remember, Paul. She has like... She was like Santa with presents in your hand. I want you people to die. And that's her exact voice, too. I'm mimicking it perfectly. Do you remember that video? Oh, we got to have a montage of those. They are too good. Even if we only listen to them ourselves, they're great. Yeah, they would. Number three, this also speaks of Christ's first coming. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. The kings of the earth, they banded themselves together against the Lord and against his anointed. Why did they band themselves against the Lord or against his anointed? What was their desire of him? Said one, to have his goods? No, he had none for himself. They were richer than he was. To have his liberty? Nay, that would not suffice them, for they had bound him before. To bring the people unto dislike of him? Nay, that would not serve them, for they had done so already until even his disciples were fled from him. What would they have then? His blood? Yea, they took counsel, said Matthew, to put him to death. They had the devil's mind, which is not satisfied but with death. And how do they contrive it? They took counsel together. That's what they did. So then this term anointed is the same as Messiah. Understand that. You see, when Christ first came, the kings of the earth set themselves. They made Christ their enemy because in the heart of a sinful man lies enmity with God. Don't you listen to me and don't you ever forget it. I don't care what sweet package people package themselves up into. That's just the truth. There is enmity against God in every natural man's heart. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. I've been a lost sinner before on my way to hell, and I know there's that enmity against God. You get saved by the grace of God and that enmity goes away. But it'll always be in the flesh. It just won't rule you. Your flesh is never going to love God. Are you kidding me? Your flesh don't like serving God. Your flesh hates it. Why do you think the first thing Jesus said is deny yourself? Well, I don't like that. Daily. Wait a minute. Look, I like this, all this religious stuff, all this singing and stuff, and all these happy smiles, and I love the way they do it. They're waving their arms, and they're all happy. Right, everybody? I like all that stuff. Wait a minute. Deny myself. Wait a minute. Now you people are weird. Now there's something really wrong with you people to deny myself? Right, that's right, Ezra. Testify. Amen, Ezra. Why is that? Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Only God knows the depraved heart of a man. You may be here just like that fox Herod was. You may have the enemy of Christ. You may be the enemy of Christ through wicked works. You may be here and never been born again, and marvel not, dear little child, how far you can hate the righteousness of God. You see, we cannot love righteousness until we're born again, because our sin nature is ever present and controls us. That's why we have to repent and accept Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, Christ is a divider, friend. Don't you ever forget it. You walk with Christ. When you live for Christ, he is a divider. He is not a uniter with the world, but he is a divider. He will cut, sever off the world from you. You cannot have God's Spirit inside of you and not be cut off from the world in that sense. We are separated from the world. And if you follow Christ, you're going to be. That's just the truth. That's the way that it is. There's no other way. I'm telling you, you either have the Spirit of Christ or the Spirit of Antichrist. That's it. That's the way it works. Our sin nature is ever present. You know, Herod could do nothing else but hate Christ. Why is that? Because he was king of his own life. He was the king of Israel. But no, Christ was the true and rightful heir. He was the son of David. He was the king of Israel. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the son of David. Thou art the son of God. Thou art the king of Israel. Peter said that. Peter knew who Christ was. Herod knew who Christ was. But Herod wanted to be Lord of his own life. You will die in your sins and go to a devil's hell if you believe not that Jesus is Lord. And if you do not cry out to the king for forgiveness, you will join this wicked band of men against the Lord and against his anointed. You will. You will rage against the preacher someday. You know, it is very likely that one coming from my own bowels could do that. If they did not get saved by the grace of God, I am not deceived into thinking that one that comes from my own home could be that. I pray every day that it be not that. And it doesn't have to be. But I will tell you this, that it could be. It could be. Right? Yea, mine own familiar friend hath lifted up his heel against me. Ahithophel, David's trusted counselor, betrayed him. Right? It certainly could be. Marvel not that you must be born again. Let me tell you, oh, how he loves you. Christ died for you. He was buried. He rose again from the dead. What life he can give you. What abundant life. His mercy endureth forever. I will tell you, kiss the Son of God. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Amen. You are blessed. The world will hate you, but you are blessed. You will be broken, but the world will hate you, but you will be blessed. You will be separated from men's company. Christ hath parted me from many men over the years. The truth of this book has parted me from many family members, many loved ones, many people. This book has parted me, but I have never regretted it. And I do not today regret it. I do not. Amen. Go to Christ if you've never went to him. He will abundantly pardon you and give you life everlasting. You will be called the friend of God. This Messiah, this Jesus, the anointed, was surrounded by his enemies, even at his birth, which we will not explain today, but I'll preach another message to you about that. And I've preached on it years ago, but it was more of a Christmas slant, an incarnation. But I'm going to preach another message. I'm going to retitle it and talk to you about it. In this psalm, because the incarnation is in there. Doctrine's important. It's in there. Right? But I want to talk to you about the most disturbing birth on earth. But the kings of the earth set themselves at the first coming of Christ against him. Matthew 2:7. When Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time this star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when he had found him, bring me word. When you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Herod wanted to kill him. He wanted to stamp out the Lord's anointed. Wait a minute. Do you actually mean that there are rulers in this world that have a spirit like Herod that want to kill babies? And that we should identify that spirit from the scriptures, and we should show that when there are world leaders that want to kill babies, that we should say, look, they have this spirit of Antichrist in them? Yeah. Whether they're Republican or Democrat. So you have a president of the United States that has signed an executive order about chewing bubble gum almost, right? And you're telling me he couldn't sign any executive orders to shut things down and make it litigation and make it a fight? Really? Is anybody here really believe that? Does anybody really believe that this president wouldn't, if he wanted to, sign executive orders to block funds, money, whatever it is, to abortion clinics in America? While we're shutting everything else down, churches were shut down, but abortion clinics were left open. Whatever. It's a garbage. I'm sorry, you may be stupid enough to believe that, but I'm just not. I'm not going to wave a stinking, stupid Trump flag and believe that garbage, because it's nonsense. You know full well he could sign it with a signature and have a fight the next day. But he's not, because he has the same spirit as they do, and that's why. It's all just a bunch of rhetoric, and it's all a game. It's just like rooting for one of your football teams. That's all it's like. And they're both making billions of dollars on it. And the pro-life movement is ran by the Roman Catholic Church, who does not agree with abolishing abortion. They don't even agree with the platform to abolish abortion. Do you understand that? Wake up. It's a game. The kings of the earth set themselves. It's the same spirit Herod had. He wanted to see Jesus dead. He wanted to see all the... So what did he do? Kill the babies. That's what he did. Right? You see, the kings would die out, but Christ would come. He would be in obscurity until he was to be presented into Israel. This King Jesus was always a danger to the kings of the earth. Why do you think they get so mad when you preach King Jesus? They get mad. Did you know that Satan in Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to talk about this in another day and extensively, but he offered Jesus a crown before Jesus went to the cross. Jesus was always being offered a crown before he went to the cross. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 8, again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. What happened? Satan says, I'll give you all these crowns, and you can rule all these nations before you go to the cross. I mean, you don't have to go to the cross and die for sinners. You don't want to go through all that. Let me just give you all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. I'll just give it all to you now. What a temptation. Right? But doesn't he throw the same temptation at you? Doesn't he tempt you to want the crown before the cross? That you don't carry your cross daily, but that you're looking for a crown and you want to be crowned king now, and you want to have all your rewards now, and you want to skip the denying yourself, taking up your cross and following Christ every day? I don't want to suffer for Jesus' sake. If you suffer, then you'll reign with him. And that's not the only time that happened. Jesus constantly during his earthly life, that was being thrown at him. John 6:15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. By the way, Jesus went alone to get strength from the temptation, knowing they wanted to make him a king. See, they wanted to, that's John 6:15. Remember what happened in John 6:66? That they wanted to make him a king right there. Why? Why was that a bad thing? Because Satan was trying to get him to skip the cross. So he wouldn't go to the cross. Be it far from thee. That's right. Peter did it too. Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense. For thou carest not for the things that be of God. See, he wanted to, oh, just wear the crown now. Oh, come on. You know that that's the temptation that we all have. You want the crown now. I want all my rewards now. Yeah, I want it all right now. See, the kings of the earth set themselves against him. John 19:8. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was more afraid. And went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. What was he? He looked at him and said, you don't have any power. You just think you do. You think you have power. You think that you have power. Right? But you don't. God's allowing you to do this. But you know what? Those that delivered you, me unto you, they're in trouble. They're in real trouble. And Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power. And then from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. Notice that Caesar was God to many nations and peoples. But the Jews were not supposed to recognize Caesar, but to recognize the Messiah. In John 19:15, they cried out, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. Well said they. And Rome still runs the Jewish cabal today. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. What is that? That's the kings of the earth setting themselves. Yes, there is a conspiracy for a new world order. There always has been a conspiracy against the Lord since Satan's fall. There's a spirit behind it. John 8:44. You're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's the spirit. And you can see it in the people that are led by it. So when Christ came the first time, they killed him. The rulers of the world had put him to death. The kings of the earth set themselves, and they took counsel together. But this also speaks This also speaks of Christ's return. See, the culmination and the finality of the New World Order will be when Christ puts it down. When he puts down all rebellion. Amen? So nothing has changed. That spirit that is behind the New World Order is the same Antichrist spirit. Did you know that today the church is the only, and when I say the church, I mean it as institutional sense, not some universal invisible one. I know I don't have to say that to you, but I mean it as the institution itself. This church, churches like this church, are the only thing that stands in the way of the New World Order. Do you understand that? We are the ones that fight against it, because the New World Order's kingdom is not earthly, it's spiritual. Yes, there are earthly players, but there's a spirit behind it. And the spirit is what you ought to pay more attention to than the players themselves. And see, here's the problem. So many people are tracing the players in the game and missing the fact that it's the spirit behind them all. I don't have to know where every intricate part of the New World Order is. I know the spirit that's behind it. She say, there's no way that somebody could have planned 9/11, could have planned these number systems the way they did. Well, I agree. Not humans. But devils can. Satan can. Right? Satan knows how to do it. He's very good at doing it. Yep. Right. Mm-hmm. Amen. It does. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Maybe some of these people like Alex Jones, they always try to get you to wrestle against flesh and blood. Maybe that's who they are. That's their goal, to get you to wrestle against flesh and blood. But we're not. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Brother Beller used to say the end time religion of the world will be Luciferianism. He's right. He was right. Because they're all Luciferian at the top. They all worship the devil at the top. I'm telling you, they all do. All of them worship the devil at the top. All of them. I don't care what form of it is. It matters not. They're all devil worshipers at the top. They all follow Lucifer at the top. No matter what flavor they come under. Whether it's Billy Graham, whether it's Bill Clinton, it doesn't matter. Whether it's Muslims, Muslim world leaders, it doesn't matter. Right, they all worship Lucifer. How do we know that? Revelation 13. I'm not going to read it all to you because I don't want to keep you much later. But Revelation, I've got a lot of scripture, but I'm gonna move along here because I don't want to keep it. But you can read this at home. Revelation chapter 13. If you read Revelation chapter 13 when you get home, read it. Look at it. Understand that the culmination of the one world government and the new world order comes right there. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. The beast system arises. The beast system forms, comes together along with the false prophet and the Antichrist, all in one place. Now, all of it leads to Revelation 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So do you realize that what this says is that Satan has been tempting the leaders of the world the whole time? Right? Because he said he can do it no more. That he tempts the nations no more. So, Paul, what that means is that he's been tempting the nations the whole time. And they've been Antichrist against him. What's that, brother? No. They tried to stay away from it because they knew what it was. No, we don't. No, all we have is biblical persuasion. It all culminates in the end times into a one world war and a battle. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. You see, this is the end of the New World Order. That'll be the end of it. Say, can you trace every man which group and all that is involved? Nope. But I can trace the spirit. If I never knew a thing about a Rothschild, a Mason, or a Jesuit, or anyone else, I would know they exist because of the scriptures. They warn me of it. I know it by faith, and now I see it daily by evidence. This is the conspiracy behind the New World Order. I don't need a YouTube video, a conspiracy theorist, QAnon, or anything else. It's as easy as understanding the holiness of God and the depravity of man. They hated Christ when he came, and they put him to death, and the kings of the earth will war against the Lord and his anointed. But this also warns us that we that are on Christ's side will be hated. Jesus said, if they hated me, they will hate you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. You and I have already sided with Christ. We've received him as our Savior. We've revealed the conspiracy. We tell others about the conspiracy against Christ, and we are hated for it. Don't believe me? Well, they called Jesus crazy. They said he was mad. Which is the same as crazy. John 7:19. Did not Moses give you the law, yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? The people answered and said, thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? Man, everybody loves you. Nobody's mad at you. Who goeth about to kill you? There's nobody upset with you. Now what they said to him? John 10:20. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Don't they say that when you're on the street? Man, you people sound crazy. I like it when the most dignified theologians come up to us and they go, do you understand how crazy you sound? I mean, just look at you up here. You're standing up here on this thing. And you sound insane. I mean, you're turning people off of the faith. Look, I love God. And I don't act like an idiot like you. Okay, I'm not out here screaming at people and yelling at people. I mean, what's wrong with you, loser? Why don't you stop it? Just stop it. Isn't that what they say to you? That's the conversation. You look crazy. Look, don't you know you're turning more people off than you are on? Don't you get that? How many converts do you have, loser? You don't have any. Nobody's becoming a Christian. Don't you see nobody wants you here? Get out of here. Nobody's listening to you. You are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. Yes, huh? You are. I heard you. You're right here. You're with me. You're listening to me. Look, those signs don't work. Just stop it. They're over there while they're over there talking to you about the sign. And then they say, we're mad. You're crazy. Wait a minute. You're crazy. You're ignoring the evidence I have right here that sign works. Because you're over here talking about it. Yeah, but nobody's getting converted, loser. Right? You're just crazy. You people are crazy. It's God that converts people, right? But that's what they say to you. We're the crazy ones. But they told Christ he was crazy too. You're mad. You got devils. You're mad. Haven't they taken counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed? Think about this COVID-19 thing and the restrictions and shutting down churches to hinder the gospel. What they've done to that. Like, they're scaring these big million-dollar buildings that have something to lose. I like what Brother Finney told me years ago. Pastor, don't worry about it. You ain't got nothing. Well, you're right, Brother Finney. I don't have anything. They can't. Pastor, you're what they call judgment-proof. You don't have nothing. I was like, I like that. That's good. That's true. I don't. Right? And what are they going to do? Come for our building? Take the lease, man. It's expensive. You want to pay it for a while? Go ahead. Yeah. But isn't that what they do, though? They're doing it now. Haven't they proven their wars against the churches? Have they not proven what spirit they're of? When did they ever stop the riots from going through those streets? When did they ever stop? When did Waltz and all those other guys do anything about the riot? They let Minneapolis burn down. But then they were telling people, well, you can't meet in that building. I mean, people are going to get COVID. What's the matter with you? Well, you burnt the whole city down in Minneapolis. Well, that don't matter. You guys can't be meeting there. People are going to get coldsy-woldsies. Right? Right. Think about it. That's what they did. That's what they said to everybody while they watched the whole thing burn down. And then they call us mad. Well, we're not mad. I'm not mad, most noble Festus. As Paul said to him, we are not mad. I'm not mad, most noble Festus. I'm fine. He said, my head's never been clear, Festus. I know the truth. I want you to think about this. And I got to stop. I know I don't want to keep you very much longer here, but I keep saying that and I do, but that's okay. China. Do you realize what China's doing right now? See, China stands against the Lord's churches just like the American ones are, but they're not getting away with it as much as China is. That great dragon China trying to force churches to bug themselves and record all they're doing. The beast system taking full control, waging war. That President Xi, or is it Xi? That's it, yeah, isn't it? Yeah. He's made himself a king. Thousands of Christian villagers in China have been told to take down displays of Jesus, crosses, and gospel passages from their homes as part of a government propaganda effort to transform believers in religion into believers in the party. The South China Morning Post reports that communist parties of China officially visited believers' homes in Yunnan County province, where about 10% of the population is Christian. Only 10%! So they see Christianity as such a threat that they go to the 10%. 90% of other people can do whatever they want, but it's that 10% right there that we have to go after. It's always been that way. Right? They urge the residents to replace personal religious displays with posters of the president. More than 600 removed Christian symbols from their living rooms, and 453 hung portraits of the communist leader. Many poor households have plunged into poverty because of illness in the family. Some resorted to believing in Jesus to cure their illness, the head of the government campaign told them. But we tried to tell them that getting ill is a physical thing and that the people who can really help them are the Communist Party and General Secretary Xi. I mean, Jesus can't help you with your illness. What's the matter with you? Churches across China's central province of Henan have been forced to replace the Ten Commandments with President Xi's quotes amid pressure from the government, a human rights magazine reported. Bitter Winter reports that the Ten Commandments have been removed from nearly every three-self church and meeting venue in a county of Luoyang City and replaced with the president's quotes as part of the Chinese Communist Party's efforts to sinicize Christianity. The biblical commandments given to Moses, which include, you shall have no other gods before me, and you shall not make for yourselves a graven image, have been replaced with quotes from Xi, including excerpts from his speech at the Central United Front Work Department working meeting in 2015. The core socialist values in Chinese culture will help to immerse various religions of China, he said. support religious community in interpreting religious thought, doctrines, and teachings in a way that conforms with the needs of the progress of the times. Resolutely guard against the infiltration of Western ideology and consciously resist the influence of extremist thoughts. What's he talking about? The Bible. He's not talking about anything else but the Bible. Right. He's got to stop it. One person said the communist ultimate goal is to become God. Well, I'll close with this. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. It's always been that way. It always will be until Jesus puts down all rebellion one day. I pray that he's put down the rebellion in your heart if he hasn't, repent and believe the gospel today. Or you'll join these men against the Lord and against his anointed. Amen. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your words. Thank you for the truth of it. Thank you for the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Lord, help us this week to be lights in a dark, dark world. Help us to shine for you. Use us, dear Father, we pray. May the testimony of Jesus flow through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.